Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
How much does Joshua Briscoe talk about Patrick Mahomes?
No! Today was going to be an Alex Smith show! Dang it!
I think Alex Smith is Mormon, right? The next question on Reference.com is, what are some facts about Mormon holy underwear?
The hell happened to that first segment?
16 minutes. 17.
That was a fast 17 minutes!
That was pretty fast.
Time flies when you're talking about your dad's furry empire that you ruined and then the long drives back from St. Louis you never fully forgive your friends for. This show is for some people. I don't know if any of them are currently listening, but there is a type of person that just loves this show. We just have to find a few of them. And they have to all be very rich and powerful. So they fund this show. Jason just walked by with a piece of pizza. Wait, there's pizza here. Man, they mentioned earlier they're going to go get some pizza. There's pizza in the building.
Break.
Did you just turn off my microphone?
I meant to turn off mine and I hit yours by accident. There are too many buttons on this board, man.
Chad, I can only imagine in response to us singing the Bananas in Pajamas theme song, said there's a reason other shows don't do it. It's a sports show. Or at least I thought it was.
Well, that was your first mistake. It's almost entirely sports.
That's the name of the show!
You aren't going to get another political discussion like yesterday, are you? Maybe I will. Don't tempt me.
He'll do it, man. He's crazy.
We should do an hour of discussion about Alex Smith and then wind up talking about his handsomeness.
To Jay Cutler.
Excuse me?
What was that noise?
I was shocked.
Number one. Cam Newton.
Alex Smith is in the top 20 handsome quarterback? And Andy Dalton is?
Well, I've unsubscribed from Social Life magazine.
I'm still trying to find a site that has Alex Smith on one of these. I'll do some more research and come back to you. You talk about football.
Please.
You talk about actual football.
Please come back to me with more research. Is this the best show I've ever done?
Private browser.
Jaren on the Facebook page comments, Mahomes' handsomeness is too raw, he needs more time.
What a dumb show.
Isn't this a sports show? Almost entirely.
What is going on?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
But yeah, I think this segment just went to Marconi.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So I have a cough button in front of me.
You do.
That I'm not sure is actually my cough button. Let's find out. Nope, that's not mine.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Good work again, Beards. Good work. It was a solid last week on. Last week was a good set of shows.
We had some great stuff last week, man. There was so much stuff I couldn't include in that one.
You said you put together like two dozen liners today?
20 plus, yeah. Of just other stuff that I couldn't fit in that one.
Yeah, stuff that didn't even make the cut for last week on.
I almost thought about making two, have at this hour, and then what I thought would be the next hour, but then I remembered we only have an hour today.
Oh, that's a good call, though. That is something I think we could do in the future. We could, something about the rarity of last week on. It helps the whole product. But I'm smiling so hard, my cheeks hurt. That was just good...
That was me all yesterday when I was putting this thing together.
It's a really good, 2.5 minutes. Had a really good couple of hours. Yesterday, the Kansas City Chiefs are now 2-0. The Philadelphia Eagles vanquished in Arrowhead 27-20 yesterday. I was bumping past Michael Coleman, as he was stepping out of the ESPN Kansas City studio, I was stepping in, and he said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing pretty good. Today's going to be a pretty easy show. Travis Kelce's a dope. The Chiefs are good. Talk to you on Tuesday." That's it. If you're listening to this on the podcast, or if you're listening to this right now live, just go ahead and turn it off now. You got it. You got the show. That's today's show.
But, don't turn it off.
No, but don't, actually. Please.
Listeners.
Please, we need you. Hey, listener. Stay.
We'll be broke without you.
I won't.
Destitute.
I have some bad news to tell you later about our financial situation.
Oh, no.
It's not all milk and honey.
But it would have been better if you said it's not all ramen.
Well, right. It is all ramen. That's the problem. It's not all milk and honey. It is all ramen and lukewarm water. But yesterday, the Chiefs gave us, as they have been ought to do. Ought to? That's not what I meant. As they've been one to do would have made more sense. As the Chiefs have been one to do, gave us more good stuff to talk about. I thought the Chiefs would handle the Eagles at home. In fact, Beards, do you remember what I said my final score prediction was going to be whenever I get my final score prediction on Thursday? Do you remember what I said?
I don't. We were too busy discussing NFL quarterback handsomeness to remember.
It was 27-20. I freaking nailed it. You're damn right. Honk my horn. Nailed it. And I said that I thought largely the Chiefs would control the pace of the game throughout. This should have been a 27-13 victory, but the Chiefs played a little prevent late in the game, like at the very end of the game. And the Eagles made it interesting in a way that they never should have gotten the chance to. I can live with that. But the story from this game is many-fold. And that's what I've been doing since kickoff. I've been wondering this. But I've been thinking about this from kickoff to now, trying to piece together the most important thing from Sunday. And I'm not sure that I've actually been able to put my finger on exactly one thing. Later on, we'll talk about Travis Kelce. Later on, we'll talk about where the Chiefs fit in the pantheon of the NFL and of the AFC West, an AFC West right now that has three undefeated teams. That will all come later on in the show. But I kept trying to boil it down and boil it down and boil it down. And here are a few of the things that stuck with me. We got to talk about Kareem Hunt. No way around it, nor should there be any way around it. He forced six more missed tackles yesterday, moving his total to 14 on the year. That's the most among running backs, according to Pro Football Focus. Remember the couple of those runs he had where he was just dragging bodies with him? This is what I was saying throughout the whole preseason since Spencer Ware got hurt. Again, I think Spencer Ware would have been a great thing for this offense to have had in its arsenal. You basically would be replacing Charkandrick West or Akeem Hunt with Spencer Ware. And it also would have cost Kareem Hunt some usage, for sure. And maybe the Chiefs seem to be doing pretty well with a lot of Kareem Hunt. But I told you, I didn't think the Chiefs are going to go get a quote-unquote power back, because I didn't think they'd needed to. With the balance that he runs with the ferocity that he runs with the strength in his lower body, Kareem Hunt is going to be the best short yardage back on this team. I've said it again and again and again. Simply this. He is going to be better at third and two than anybody else the Chiefs get their hands on. And could get their hands on, in quotations here, because I think it means a whole lot more than you think it does. I don't just mean guys on practice squads or guys on the street right now. I mean, like, Adrian Peterson's not getting any work with the Saints. You get me any of those replacement-level guys, you get me Adrian Peterson in this backfield, and right now, with my life on the line and third and two, I'm giving the ball to Kareem Hunt and having him run it right off the butt of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. That's how I want to pick up 2 yards if my life depends on it. And I feel pretty good about that. We've been there with Kareem Hunt through the preseason. I've been there through the preseason. Now we're here 2 weeks in. He's doing incredible things. His balance, his strength, it puts together a full, well-rounded NFL running back. He is not a gimmick. And he's also not a shooting star. This is the other thing that I said this last week about his performance in the Patriots game. And I'm going to say it again forever. And it was proven valid with yesterday's game. Kareem Hunt is playing really, really good football and putting up really, really good results in a repeatable fashion. It wasn't that Zach Ertz reception from yesterday. Let's see how many yards did Zach Ertz end up with. He ended up with 97 yards. 53 of them came on that pass that got batted up, and then he pulled back down and ended up in no points for the Eagles. 53 of his 97 yards yesterday, not super repeatable. Kareem Hunt is doing this in ways that we're going to keep seeing for as long as he's on the field. Barring injuries, he's going to keep looking like this. Yesterday, the offense in the first half was really struggling, and we're going to get into the larger point here of my concerns with the offense as a whole, with the defense as a whole, with the first half of this team as a whole. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But in the first half, Kareem Hunt had, I don't know, 3 or 4 carries. He ended up with 13 for 81 yards, 2 touchdowns, in that 53-yard long. Whenever he wasn't getting work, the offense wasn't moving very well. He started getting more work, the offense took off. Kareem Hunt, if there's anything that I'm saying today that I wasn't saying last Friday after the Patriots game, it's this. I was talking about Kareem Hunt as a third weapon with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I was talking about those three guys in the same breath all together and saying that as one or two of them gets taken away or minimized, then Andy Reid and Alex Smith will be obligated and will have the ability to lean on another. That might be undervaluing Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt yesterday looked like the catalyst of this offense. And there's a little bit of old school NFL football in there. If you establish the run game, other things start opening up. I think the Chiefs are moving in that direction a little bit, which scares me because I don't know if Andy Reid's going to give the ball to Kareem Hunt enough. But I feel really, really good about the guy they have as their option for their ground game catalyst. Could not be more excited about Kareem Hunt. On the defensive side of the ball, something struck me yesterday, last night, after the game. The defense has gotten pressure this year, and they've done it without several guys that we expected to have a part in this pass rushing unit. They got pressure with no Tom Baha Lee, no Daddy Nicholas, no Tano Passanio. It's the defensive line, it's Justin Houston, it's D Ford, and it's especially the D line and Justin Houston. Yesterday, Chris Jones was fantastic. He had 3 sacks, an interception, and a forced fumble on just 44% of the Chiefs' snaps. Andy Reid talked about Chris Jones today and said, yo, it's good to get him back out there, get him like real work and everything. I forgot that he missed training camp. I was saying during training camp, man, if Chris Jones stays healthy, gets healthy, is on the field, he's going to be an enormous, monstrous factor for what this defense can do. He's been so good that I forgot he missed time. That's absurd. He was fantastic. Yesterday, the defense started off kind of jittery. Andy Reid, again today, credited Ron Parker for settling that defense down. Eric Murray also played pretty well in Eric Berry's absence. Justin Houston, though. Ugh. Andy Reid said again today that he thinks the 4-man rush is more effective this year than it was last year. Yes. Yes, it is. Because you have Chris Jones, Alan Bailey, Benny Logan, Justin Houston getting after the quarterback. That will do that to you. But here's a place where I do have some concerns between what we saw yesterday, what we saw back on opening night against the Patriots. A pattern that I guess an optimist could say is a good pattern, a pessimist could say is a scary one. I tend to stand in the middle. I tend to appreciate the good part of it and fear the negative. The Chiefs have looked like kind of a different team coming out of the halftime break these last 2 weeks. These first 2 weeks, I guess you could say. Different team, especially defensively. But yesterday it was offense. It was 6-3 at halftime. Then the Chiefs came out and put up 21 points in the second half. Works for me. Good show. But why? Why not more relying on Kareem Hunt early on? Why not more adjustment at the time? Why not more quick-hitting stuff? Because you know that Eagles front seven is going to give you hell, and they did. And Alex Smith has had a 100% adjusted completion percentage under pressure yesterday, if I read my Pro Football Focus correctly. But there were times when he looked scared. He looked jittery. He would hold on the ball too long. He would pull his eyes down too soon. And this is not an attack on Alex Smith. Simply to say, Alex Smith is a different quarterback with a clean pocket. And eventually, Andy Reid started manipulating the whole setup to give this offense more quick-hitting opportunities, to move things along a little more quickly, to get the ball out of Alex Smith's hands in a more timely fashion, something that the Eagles never fully grasped because Carson Wentz ended up getting sacked 6 times. Alex Smith took 4, just for what it's worth. And now, whenever the ball did leave Alex Smith's hands, he was good. He was picking the right places. He was 21 for 28 for 250 yards. I thought we were going to probably see, it was a very good chance of seeing Alex Smith go back-to-back 300-yard games for, I believe, the first time in his career. Didn't happen. But again, the halftime adjustments I think are very interesting because, again, especially on the defensive side of the ball, it's something that gives me pause, and it's something that I also am glad that at least this part is going well. For the first half of the Patriots game and also through the first half of the Eagles game, Bob Sutton was doing a lot of weird things with Justin Houston, who, again, he's the best defensive player on this team. He might be the best defensive player in the league by the time the year is over, depending on how this all unfolds. He looks like the Justin Houston, and as we talked about during the preseason, that could not be, the importance of that cannot be overstated. Justin Houston getting back to what he used to be is too important for words. Side note, I see Travis Kelce on my screen on NFL Network right now. We'll talk about Travis Kelce in a second. But I'm pretty sure I just saw him wearing a polo shirt of a brand that I also own clothes from, like a designer brand online. Pretty confident I just saw him repping the Reason brand. I've got a belt. I got a couple of shirts. Got a couple of hats. Got some slides that I almost wore today.
It's a good thing there's a panel of glass between me, so if you throw anything at me, I'll be safe.
I'm pretty sure this polo he's wearing. Oh man, I wish I could hear this TV so bad. Deion Sanders is asking him about the polo. I can tell, and I can't hear what they're saying. It's so distressing. And yeah, Beards, if you walk in here, I'm gonna shove a football into your junk.
How?
I will taunt you through the glass.
You gonna fly around the studio?
Flapping my wings? Yes, 100%.
We can do that on the Facebook live stream during the break. You just fly around the studio.
Perfect for like a full like 3 or 4 minute break. Fantastic.
Don't trip over any of those chairs, though.
Oh, God, I'd tear an ACL. Be out for the season. Quickly, before we go to break, we're going to come back and talk about Travis Kelce and everything. The way that Justin Houston's being used for the cheat code that he is, I know that Bob Sutton wants to have him in a place where he can shut down the run game because he is capable of doing that. But through a lot of the first half of these last 2 weeks, I've seen Justin Houston drop back into this sort of like, I'm trying to think of how I can explain this in a way that will make sense, not even to your average viewer, just to anyone who's paying attention. Playing kind of this middle linebacker zone pass coverage where he just sort of drops into the middle of that shallow area of the defense and just sort of floats around a little bit. And so no one on a crossing route across the middle is going to have any chance of getting the ball without having their head knocked off. And he also has a little bit of a spy factor on the quarterback. This is probably something that played into dealing with Carson Wentz because we talked about this leading up to the game. You want to keep Carson Wentz in the pocket. He's very good outside of it. So I think Houston was doing a little bit of kind of the zone coverage thing and a little bit of kind of a Wentz spy thing. But he did less of that in the second half from my eyes. And whenever he's actually just allowed to rush the quarterback, that four-man rush of Houston, Bailey, Logan, Chris Jones, it's the kind of thing that turns your team around. Because it will just, you can hassle anybody to death with that. All right, whenever we come back, we'll talk about Travis Kelce and not just his wardrobe.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Put that on my tombstone. He died with a great shirt, a great watch, and a great haircut.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. The Facebook page is up and running. We're just shooting through a potato webcam because my idea for how I was going to use a digital camera today didn't work. But we purchased a webcam that we will be trying on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday I think we should have it. Maybe Wednesday. Definitely Thursday. So that to look forward to. A couple pieces of breaking news. First breaking news earlier is that, again, I think Travis Kelce and I might shop at the same online web store for clothing, which is something that I've always suspected but never known. And slightly less important news for me personally, but probably more important news for your average Chiefs fan. MRIs have shown that Mitch Morse does not need surgery for his foot sprain and should only miss a couple of weeks. Ian Rappaport had it. Terrez Paylor just tweeted that he had a source confirm it. That is very, very good news. Mitch Morse, did I even mention Mitch Morse in the first segment? There's so many things from this game. And also, again, today's show is truncated, only 1 hour, but we'll be back at 4 tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m., to do much more Chiefs talk. But it's good news for the Chiefs. Mitch Morse was knocked out in this game with a foot injury. Sounds like he'll be back very soon. I trust Zach Fulton in the interim. I've always been a big fan of Zach Fulton. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know when exactly I became a driver of the Zach Fulton hype train. But I've always been a really big fan of what I've seen from him in any of those three interior spots at either guard position or at center. I'm a Zach Fulton apologist, apparently, which, again, is a super weird thing for me to be. But it's where I am. So I'm encouraged by that news from Mitch Morse. I think Fulton will do just fine while he's there. I think he's a slight step down from Mitch Morse, but he's a step down. I don't even have to say a slight because Mitch Morse is a very good center. But I feel good about Fulton. Also, I want to have Fulton back in that rotation in case any of those other guards end up dropping at any point throughout the rest of the season. Because, again, Fulton can step in there as a very, very, very capable backup. Talked last segment, and to put a final bow on everything we're talking about last segment, the way the Chiefs do things in the first half versus the second half is really interesting to me. Again, the larger scale takeaways, on the positive side, The Chiefs are very good on both sides of the ball at adjusting out of the half. That gives them a distinct advantage against virtually every other team in football. Andy Reid out-schemed Bill Belichick, and then he ended up keeping everybody's heads above water against the Eagles. Again, the game was never as close as the 27-20 score would indicate. I mean, the first half, well, it was tense, but as soon as they came out in that second half, I felt like the Chiefs were in control of the game. So the final score is a little bit deceitful, I would say. But the thing that does worry me is that against a more opportunistic team, mismanaging the first half would be very detrimental. The sort of weird thing, though, because, again, I absolutely think that this criticism stands with the way the first half has been different than the second and how I don't enjoy that trend. I think that that especially defensively, Bob Sutton should be more aggressive in the first half and not wait so long for things to get even close to potentially getting out of hand, which they never have, of course. But I think they could be much more aggressive right out of the gate, especially with using Justin Houston as a pass rusher more than like as Eric Berry would be used, which is largely how it felt like he was being used in the first half yesterday. But again, on the other side of the coin here, it was 17-14 going into the half against the Patriots. It was 6-3 going into the half against the Eagles. The Chiefs obviously trailing the Patriots and leading the leading the Eagles at halftime. So it's not like they've had to play a huge amount of catch up or anything. It's been fine. I just think there's a place for it to be better. And I think that Kareem Hunt and Justin Houston are going to be the faces on either side of the ball for being more consistently aggressive early on in the game. If Andy Reid will lean on Kareem Hunt a little more early, if Bob Sutton will let Justin Houston attack the quarterback a little bit more early, then I think this team is going to have largely four quarters of control with just about anybody they show up against. And the Chiefs, at this point, I say this with some, but not a ton of hesitation. The Chiefs could be 6-0 going into that Steelers game. Did I do that math right? 5-0. Dang it. 6-0 going into at Raiders. But right now, beat the Patriots, beat the Eagles. I thought they were going to lose in L.A., I almost said San Diego, before the season. That was one of my kind of like fringe losses. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to pick them to lose out in that soccer stadium this week. 3-0, win at the Chargers, deal with Washington at home on Monday Night Football. That feels like a W. I feel like that's going to hold up just fine. At Houston, that's going to go down real smooth. 5-0, getting the Steelers at home. The Steelers are a completely different team on the road. Completely different team offensively on the road. You could be 6-0 before you get to at Oakland, who also could be 6-0 at that time.
Isn't that a Thursday night game too?
Yeah, that one, they're going to lose that game.
That's not pretty.
No, they're going to lose that game. Going on the road on Thursday night on a short week like that is not my favorite thing.
I'm assuming the Raiders play on Sunday as well, though.
Yeah,
so they've got the short rest as well.
Yes, they do. But
it's a semi-even playing field, just except for the fact that we're in Oakland.
Right, having to travel to the other to the coast. That Kareem Hunt touchdown highlight just flashed up in front of me, and it's so good. Ugh, what beauty! What grace! Anyway, all that to say, the Chiefs look like they're poised for a pretty good run here. And then the second half of the schedule is easier than the first half. The Chiefs just are making it look easier. We're going to run out of time in this show because, again, we're only going for about 20 more minutes today. Plus, that's not including our, 8 minutes of commercials we have to deal with. Got to pay those bills. But we do need to talk about Travis Kelce a little bit here. And then in our last segment, we're going to talk about the AFC West, where the Chiefs fall throughout this division and throughout this league. We'll talk resumes and everything. But Travis Kelce had a fantastic game. He did very little at New England. But against the Eagles, the Chiefs didn't have a chance to deal with a whole lot of long developing plays. So Tyreek Hill was 4 for 43. But Chris Conley catches 4 passes for 55. The star of the passing game, though, was Travis Kelce. 8 receptions, 103 yards, 1 touchdown. 10 targets. And he had the 44-yard long reception early in the game that was fantastic. And his touchdown was on that little shovel pass where he just sort of floated through the air for the last 3, 4, or 5 yards. A couple of fantastic plays. But we're going to keep falling at this place to Travis Kelce as he finds other people's touchdowns to taunt after. It's brutal. Bea just told me to break sometime soon. I know. We got to get the Travis Kelce thing out of the way. Both games this year, Travis Kelce's taken a taunting penalty. He had one at home against the Steelers in the playoffs last year. It's obviously a problem. And I have a hard time addressing this in a way that doesn't sort of cut the legs out from under my own sensibilities that I defend so often. I truly do want a less emotionally repressed sports landscape. I want backflips. I want touchdown celebrations. I never saw what Travis Kelce actually was flagged for. He did the eagle thing on his touchdown, and he was not flagged for that one.
I think what I heard is he ran over to the Eagles' sideline and was yelling at somebody.
No, yeah, I guess I remember that also. No, I did hear that.
That's
also
what I heard off of some broadcaster, reporter, or another.
I never saw footage, but I did hear someone say something.
No, I didn't see any footage either.
It's obviously a pattern. It's obviously a problem. Again, I don't hate. That's not strong enough. I do like the bat flips, the touchdown celebrations. Do the eagle flap down the sideline. Please spare me the think of the children. Spare me, please. Travis Kelce isn't your kid's father or mother. You are. Come on, get out of here. Please. Also, like, oh, God, Travis Kelce's having fun playing football. What a terrible example. But all that to say, I do genuinely think that the NFL should also, in and of itself, be less repressed whenever it comes to taunting penalties. There are plenty of instances when I've seen taunting, number blah, 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 on the defense, where I roll my eyes and go, this is not a cubicle. These guys are running around smacking each other in the head, fighting for a ball, playing a game. It's okay if there are emotions in it. In my NFL, I would have fewer taunting penalties, and then Travis Kelce would spend a whole lot less time outside of the confines of the rules. However, currently, the rules are pretty well defined, and Travis Kelce keeps finding himself butting heads with them. And that's not going to do it. That's not going to get it done. You have to limit yourself whenever you say, oh, my actions here are going to hurt the team. That's unacceptable. The emotions and the celebrations and the touchdown dances, all completely fine by me. I will walk all the way up to the line of actively hurting your team. And frankly, also, I'm not all that worried about the 15-yard penalties. Because all the time we say, oh, look at that. Akeem Ayers picked up 15 extra yards of field position. Bleep you, DeAnthony Thomas. Okay, all right, 15 yards. Some of the Chiefs' best drives this year have been, what, 90, 91-yard drives? They did it against the Patriots, I think, twice. Travis Kelce moved the kickoff back 15 yards. Meh. But now there's the rule that if you get two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties in the same game, you're automatically ejected. You could just subtract 30 yards off of Travis Kelce's production for this team, and he still would have, by a pretty decent margin, would have led this team in receiving yards and would have still helped this team win. I'm not all that concerned, even with the penalty yards. After touchdowns. That's another thing I guess is important to couch. If it's after a touchdown, the taunting penalty, I'm not going to lose my mind. I will if it happens twice in one game, because then he's gone. And the Chiefs offense cannot afford to lose Kelce, Hill, Kareem Hunt, obviously. That's where I get frustrated. Beard has been telling me to break for the last 10 minutes, and whenever I did want to actually point at him and go to break, he wasn't looking. Travis Kelce, you're a very fashionable man. We very clearly shop at the same places. Stop breaking the rules.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Is there a word that means both love and hate in some language?
With Joshua Briscoe.
I that this show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to the very end of a very truncated, almost entirely sports. It's amazing, though, feeling the difference between a two-hour show and a one-hour show. Like, this feels like we literally, like, just got started. Like, I feel like this is just the very beginning. And it's over now. It's bizarre. But we'll be back tomorrow, 4 to 6, the rest of the week, 4 to 6 p.m. And I think that will be the norm. I think it was KU Volleyball. Moving everybody around this week?
KU soccer today.
Okay, all right. So KU volleyball on Friday, KU soccer today. Bumped everything around, but 4 to 6 the rest of the week. And we'll be doing a lot of Chiefs-Eagles talk and a lot of Chiefs-Chargers talk as we get ready for that game. Also, other sports are still happening, but like the Royals are over. And college football in this area is just trash garbage right now. 0-3 last weekend. You're on the mic, Beards. Just say what you want to say.
Nothing comes to mind yet.
All right, let's talk about the AFC West, the pantheon of the NFL. We have a few minutes left in today's show. Looking around the rest of the division, the Broncos beat the Cowboys in Denver. The Raiders beat the Jets in Oakland. The Chargers lost to the Dolphins in L.A. So now the AFC West has three 2-0 teams and an 0-2 team. And frankly, if the Chargers wouldn't have had their kicker iced in week one and their kicker would have just made it in the second, the AFC West would have four 2-0 teams. They have three. They would have four. If the Chargers had better luck on kicks, they had a game-winning kick blocked last week and a game-winning kick missed this week. But we can write them off now because they're four games back, essentially. That's crazy of everybody. But as we look at the Broncos, Raiders, and Chiefs all juxtaposed to each other, those three resumes are absolutely not created equal. The Chiefs went to New England and beat the clear Super Bowl favorites, then beat a very good team at home in the Philadelphia Eagles. The two best teams of those six that have been beaten by the AFC West are probably the Patriots and the Eagles. Now, you could say, do we underrate the Broncos? Yes, absolutely. Trevor Siemian looks much better than I thought he was going to. But they've won two games at home. They beat a team that just has not looked very good, even though, again, the Chargers were close to being 2-0. I guess then they couldn't have had four 2-0 teams, the AFC West, because the Broncos and Chargers played. I think my point makes sense still. I definitely did not phrase that as eloquently as I would have loved to have. The Chargers are some field goal luck away from them being 2-0, and it would have knocked the Broncos to 1-1. I digress. But the Broncos beat a struggling Chargers team at home, and then they made the Cowboys look bad. Again, Ezekiel Elliott was held to, I think, under 10 yards. He was atrocious. The Cowboys' defense looked like an absolute disaster. Frankly, the Broncos' offense might be much better than we thought it was going to be, and or they might have played some really terrible defenses these first 2 weeks. The Raiders took care of business against the Titans, a kind of a preseason darling that I didn't buy into quite that hard, but I think they still are in all likelihood going to win the AFC South by a few games. And then they trounce the Jets at home. That's what good teams do. Good teams trounce bad teams at home, but that's not an incredibly impressive win. I can't fault the Broncos or the Raiders for not doing more. They've done everything they can be asked to do, and I think both of those teams do deserve the credit of a 2-0 team. But the place the Chiefs are at right now, with the win on the road on opening night against the Patriots, it's the most impressive win of this season, and it's not even close, in the NFL. And frankly, it's going to be the most impressive win of this season for a good long time. But I don't even think there's an argument to be made for anything else as of right now. That is a huge gold star on the schedule. And then you deal with the Eagles at home, again, in fashion that actually was much more aesthetically pleasing than the 27-20 final score that we got from yesterday. Adam Teicher wrote that he thinks the Chiefs have the best resume in the NFL. And I looked around, I don't know who's going to beat them. I don't know who right now, 2 weeks in, has a better resume. The Chiefs started with two real challenges. They started with an impossible game and a difficult one. They won both of them. Now they're going to go on the road to a division rival. I think they're probably going to deal with that against a 0-2 Chargers team that I thought before the season would give them plenty of trouble. I think they handle that now. And then it's Washington at home. Then it's at Houston. Then it's the Steelers at home. The Chiefs are going to be favored all the way up until they go to Oakland for that Thursday night football game. I feel pretty good about what we've seen from the Chiefs, not just yesterday, but throughout these first two games of the season. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 p.m. on Almost Entirely Sports. Thanks, Beards McFly. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.